Okay, Perek Mem Aleph, we are up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay, so this Perek continues to discuss, to describe in detail the Leviathan. Pasuk Yud Gimel says that Leviathan, Hashem says, Nafshay Gecholim Telahet Vilahav Mipiv Yetzei. Nafshu means its breath. Vayibach Biapav Nishmas Chaim, breath of life. Nafsho, the breath, its breath brings forth gecholim, tilahet. When it breathes, coals, fiery coals, burst forth, fire burst forth. The lahav, and flames, mipiv yetzei, flames come forth from its mouth. It sounds like some type of dragon. Pasuk Yud Gimel, in the Mitzudas Nafsho, nishimoso, its breath. Tilahet kegachale esh, it flames with coals of fire. Uchi'ilu lahav yoytzei mipiv, it's as if there are flames coming forth from its mouth. Okay, pasuk, let's see Rashi. Rashi, pasuk, Yud Gimel nafsho gecholim tilahet, gecholim baros veloyatos velavos dolkos yotzos mipiv. Okay, there's a lot of words there which all mean the same thing. Coals, gecholim, baros, burn, velohatos, and flare, the lahavos lahavos is a blaze. Okay, dolkos and are on fire. Yotzos mipiv. All these words seemingly mean the same thing as far as we're concerned. Gecholim bayros loyatos lahavos dolkos yotzos mipiv and come forth from its mouth. Okay,
possibly. Why do we have four psukim? We have basically the same thing.
You can ask the same question when it comes to the scales. When it comes to the scales, how many psukim said exactly the same thing? It said pasuk zayin, pasuk ches, pasuk tes. Three psukim also describe the scales. And now, like you said, there are four psukim. Well, it's even more than four psukim. It's really pasuk yud, when it sneezes, pasuk yud aleph. From its mouth comes forth flames, pasuk yud beis, from its nostrils, pasuk yud gimel. So we have over here four psukim. So you're right. I mean, there is a lot of repetition. I do not know why. I have no idea. Obviously, these psukim carry within them some very deep things, especially when we know that the Leviathan refers to the Yemos HaMashiach. Well, that's a question. Is it the Yetzirah? Is it energy? Maybe it's referring to the tzaddikim. Fish are creatures which are associated with Torah, with a cult, hoi cult, sabal l'chulamai. Fish live in water.
It's the same question I said yesterday. Why does Ramban have to spend so much time and so much repetition? I mean, he says it once.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. There's obviously something very, very deep. There are two parakim devoted to the Leviathan describing it. I do not know. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yudal. Now we describe and continue with Savara Yolin Ois. Now the Mitzvah says a Chiddush. The Mitzvah says that the most vulnerable part of a person, of a creature, is the neck. Is that really true? Is that how we look at it in war, among in the army? The most vulnerable part of the body is the neck. Yeah.
Well, it's the shortest part. It's unprotected.
Yeah, but you don't see a soldier putting on a gear. Yeah, and the neck is usually exposed.
Where's the jugular?
Right, unless you're wearing full body armor.
Anything from Eve? What? Because the whole thing at Eve is questioning God's way. You're already questioning why you went.
Okay, the neck is the most vulnerable part of the body. That is what the Masuda says. A soldier in war has a bulletproof vest, they wear a helmet, they wear things on their knees, and they wear...
It's not connected by bone.
Yeah.
It's soft in there, so it makes it vulnerable. The chest is protected by bone. The head is protected by
God. So it's okay. Yeah. This is what it says. Yeah.
Medical bone.
Two. Why? You fall your head. But that's your head. That's not the neck.
No, you're exposing.
You're exposing your neck when you bow down, when you bend down. All right, possibly. B'tzavara yolino. So it says that in reference to the Leviathan, it's not like other creatures. Other creatures' necks are vulnerable, are weak, are susceptible to harm, but not the Leviathan. And the Leviathan yolin ois is where it resides might. Ulufanov todutz da'ava. Ulufanov means its chest. Ulufanov means what is in front of the neck, meaning in this case the chest that is below the neck. Todutz is joy. Ditsa v'chedva. Ditz is joy. Da'ava is sorrow. So todutz means the joy overcomes the sorrow. When if the Leviathan would ever have a feeling of tsar, of sadness, it would immediately be dispelled by its sense of joy. Being that it's a mighty creature and it's powerful and has nothing to worry about, it dashes, the joy that it experiences dashes any possible pain that would come upon it. Let's take a look at the Mesillas for elaboration. Pasuk Yudalid, Betzavaroi im ki hatzavar hu hamokim hayotze cholosh b'chol balchai. Although that the neck is the place that is vulnerable, is weak with regard to all creatures. Aval Betzavaroi, but the neck of the Leviathan yasmid ha'oiz v'hachoizek is a continuous sense of might and power. Ulufanov, the second half of the pasuk, ulufanov. What does it mean? What's before the neck? Hechoze, the chest that's right beneath the neck. Asher hi lifnei hatzavar, tismach es hoitzavon, brings joy to sadness. Meaning, it's like an expression. It means that the sadness is dissipated through the joy that it experiences. Rotzulaymar. Kol kach hi chazaka umishumeres. It is so powerful and so secure. Ad lo te'otzev midavar michoif. It will never get sad. It will never have any pain. Ki ein davar yazikena. There's nothing in the world that has potential to cause the Leviathan harm. What a creature, huh? Okay, pasik Rashi and pasik Vayudalit. B'tzavar yolin ois gevura. The crocodile but that's underneath the water, but it's long.
It's normally staying in the water.
In the water,
but it's not protected by its coat of armor.
Right? Uh-huh, that's only on the back. Okay, so then Bitsavaro. All right, so you're saying it doesn't fit to the description of the crocodile.
I don't know.
All right, it's
maybe because it keeps it in the water.
Well, it says tzavar its neck. Y'all knows, okay. Ulefon of todutz dava doesn't say how strong. It just says that its heart, its chest has joy. Doesn't say that it's physical strength. I don't know. You're right. Everything here is up for grabs. It's all a very big mystery. The crocodile versus hippopotamus. I never knew that. I never knew the Leviathan was even the crocodile was a candidate for the Leviathan.
You can shoot a crocodile.
What? Well, of course they can kill. They kill crocodiles.
The
Leviathan, we're saying that the Leviathan crocodile is like a super crocodile. It's the closest that we have in our knowledge to what is being described, fits the description of the Leviathan. Of course, the Leviathan is exponentially greater, bigger. And according to what it says in the Psukim, it can't really exist in this world because the world, we would know about it. If it was really out there, we would seemingly know that it exists, right? Because the amount of food that it eats and consumes. Okay, but this is just an idea that Rav Schwab threw out. And he said, "What?
To Gaza?
Maybe get okay. All right, let's see. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi pasik yud ale b'tzavar yolin lufanov. We did that already. Okay, we're up to pasik tes." Lefanov told Shein Davon. It's fine. We did everything ready. Okay. And also again, Lefanov told it's Davon. Shein Davon the Itzavon Lefanov. Rashi Shein the Mishur Mishum Bria. Todutz lashem ditza v'simcha, joy, expression of joy, and its joy removes any and removes the other sadness. Pasuk tes vav, maple v'saroi doveku yotzuk alav bal yimot. Maple means layers. Fish The meat of fish is in layers. If you eat a piece of salmon, you can see it. In a piece of salmon, you see that there are layers of flesh, layers of meat. So mapli literally means a piece, one piece that's neufeld, that falls upon another piece. So a good translation would be a layer. A layers of its flesh, daveko, they cleave strongly one to another. Yotsuk olav, it's been firmly, yotsuk is molded, it's been like poured in one mold. Instead of taking like a candelabra, there are some candelabras that are made by connecting pieces together, and then there are candelabras that are made out of one piece of metal. Suddenly it's made from one piece of metal, is much stronger, it's one piece, it's yotsuk, it's been poured, molten gold, silver, whatever it is, metal has been poured to form one piece. That's the strength of its flesh. It's as if it's been yotzik olav. These layers of flesh have been molded, have been poured and cast as one piece. Bal yimo, to the degree where you cannot separate one section from the next. Let's take a look at the mitzudus pasuk tezvav. Maple v'saro, chatichos v'saro, the pieces of flesh. Heima devukim zeba zekilu he nitzuk as if nitzuk alab yitzik ach as if they've been poured in one cast. Velo yimod zemizeh, and one piece does not separate from the next. Kasher yamutu hachatichos b'yes shadogim, like other pieces of flesh separate by in other fish. Ki derech bos b'sar hadagim liyos chatichos ze al ze. It's a derech by fish for the flesh to be one piece upon another piece, layers. V'noyach lifroid oisam zemizeh, and it's easy to separate one layer from the other, as we are aware. When you take a piece of salmon or whitefish, it easily comes apart in different pre-cut sections. Okay, Rashi says mapli v'sod davko didvokos v'chtuchufos zo b'zo, the layers cleave and are attached one to the other. Shahadogim he nasim chatichos chatichos bebesaro. It is the way of fish for a piece to eat, for it to have many layers. Umedubalko zo bezo. Uvedog gadol kishuhu mevushul niros chatichos. When you cook a large fish, you can see the chatichos shein neshechvo zo al zo. Vezo itzel zo. Vechen holech sidur hamila. And now Rashi explains that he's looking back at how we have described the Leviathan. The sidur Hamole, or I'm sorry, Hamilo, not sure what that means of the word, the arrangement of this.
I don't know what that word is.
Yeah, I don't know what it means there. Hamolov of this object. Tchila, first, diber bikaske soisov. First, we described its scales, shelivios, and that's the extreme outside, extreme layer. The achar kach b'chatichos b'saroi v'choizek libo, and then we describe what's underneath the scales, the flesh, the strong piece of flesh, and the strength of its heart. Maple, then Rashi explains what's this unusual word, maple. We translate it as layers. He just defines in more detail. Lashon kifilois chatichos. Lashon of kefel. There is the pei. Now, I don't know where you get the mem and the lamed. I guess kefel, the pei and the lamed. Those two letters are the main letters, which means of kofel, it's doubled over. And in the context, it means...
That's what he's trying to
do. Maple.
Or is he just saying that the way it's structured, it's kind of, it's like... folded or doubled over one layer on top of another.
He's saying the word maple is coming similarly to define what is the shorish, the etymology of the word maple.
I'm not sure he's doing it as a shorish.
Okay.
He says lashon.
Maple, lashon, kifilois. Lashon, kifilois, chatichos. The doubling over of pieces of flesh. Layers. The yesh lashon. The yesh loymar, you can say kamo pile piluye shabloshim gemara pile piluye, which means to peel. Okay, it's another expression. So he wants to suggest that the pay in the lame doesn't mean.
No, with the yud, it's the
pilei piluye.
I have to say maplo, right?
Another parish, the Yesh Lamar, is a second parish. He's giving two parishim. The first parish is maple, comes from the word kofel. The second parish is the peel. Pale peluye. Pshabaloshon Gemara. Loshon bikua bikua chatichos. It means to peel the layers, to break open, to peel open layers of flesh. Davku beis kemutza become its katan. Now I don't know what he's doing over here with the beis. He's saying over here the beis, there is no beis. Beis kemutza become its katan. The visaroi maple visaro doveku. Now I don't know what he's saying. Kometz katan. There is no kometz katan. It's a shva. I don't know which beis he's referring to.
He's talking about doveku. There's no beis there.
Doveku. There is a beis. Doveku. The beis. You're right. Doveku, beis kemutza, the kometz katan. That would be dovaku. That's not what we have. We have doveku. So I don't know what he means exactly. We have a tsere in our text, not a komatz. He had different ways for calling it. He had different terms, but I don't know how to substitute his terms for our terms. Davku beis kemutza bekometz katan kemo uleshoinam lechacham davka, same word davka. There it's taka with a dov, that's a kometz katan davka. A kometz katan means that the beis, when there's a kometz katan and a kometz gadol. A kometz gadol is a tnua gedola. As a tnua gedola, that means that the shva that comes after the kometz will always be a shva na. A kometz katan is a tnua ketana, and that means the shva which comes after would be a shva noch. So if it's dovka, and the kometz underneath the dalvin is a kometz katan, it's dovka. The beis is a shva noch, dov. But if it's a kometz gadol, then it will be dovika, dovika. So here he's saying, or maybe that's what he means, doveku. It's an esnachta, but even if it's an esnachta, doesn't necessarily affect the comets.
Isn't that what he's talking about?
Maple v'saro doveku. He says here there's a comet's cotton. Now he says the comet's cotton in reference to the base, so perhaps what he means is that the dalid is the comet's cotton, and therefore it's doveku. Maybe there was also another nafkamina that it's a vase, not a base. If it's a comet's godol, if I'm not mistaken, it would be doveku. Dabeku, the beis would get would be dugusha. If it's a kometz katan, then it's daveku. So maybe that's what he means here. Daveku beis kumutza, the kometz katan kumo ulashonim locham, the locham davka. There, the word davka also is a kometz katan, which means it's davka. It's not maybe there it's daveka, but the point is the dal is a kometz katan, and that would have an effect on the beis. The beis would not be dugusha. V'chim harbe esnachta v'seif pasuk. You have this exil many times. The I think what it means every time when you have a seif pasuk or an esnachta, then the kometz at the beginning of the word is a kometz katan, not a kometz gadol. I think that's what he means with the esnachta and seif pasuk. If this word would appear in the middle of an expression, then it would not be a kometz katan, it would be a kometz gadol. And then there would be a beis, not a vase. I think that's what he means. When the word appears at the very end of the pasuk, then it has a different meaning. Today, all of the good tikkunim, the tikkun kairim, and a lot of the chumashim today, it's becoming very popular to put the kometz katan, a different symbol for a kometz katan. They have, instead of having, you know, there's a kometz gadol, kometz katan, and even some of the sidurim, that way people who are very medactic in the shvanach, the shvanas, will be careful to say a shvanach after a kometz katan and a kometz gadol. There are a lot, this week's parashas Re'eh has a whole bunch of them.
Again, the word da'ava, no? Under the base. Where?
Pasig Gidalit?
Yeah, the
word.
You see, under the base, there's a.
That's a chneseg. That's an accent. Dava, that's not a kometz. No. That's not a kometz katan. No. That's dava. No, that's a kometz gadol. That's a kometz gadol. That doesn't make it nafkamina because there's a hey. That's milara. That's just an accent point. That's not a no. Most 90% of the chumashim in the siddurim do not differentiate. You have the tikkun simonim and many of the new siddurim. Some of the better siddurim today are putting in the. We have also the art school tikkun has the kometz katan. The art school tikkun, the big fat green tikkun. The art school has the English. Some schools have it, a big fat tikkun. So they have a kometz katan. They have a very thick kometz. And the tikkun simonim has a long. It's extra long. the dots, square, square, round dots versus square dots. So you'll always notice by the Kametz Katan, then it's going to be the circle dots, not the square dots, because it's going to be a Shvan Noch. Okay, so I think that's all what he means over here. I think that's his Daveko, when it says in the Rashi that it's a Kametz Katan by the base, he means the base that is connected to the Dalit, it's Daveko, and the Nafkamina in this context would be that it's Daveko and not Daveko with the base, with the Dugusha, because that's also Nafkamina when the Kametz Katan becomes Skuddle. Next, Yotzuk, a love called Maple, each piece, each layer, Yotzuk Ze al Ze, is cast one upon the other. In this context, Yotzuk means it's firmly glued together with crazy glue. Ashelo Yimot, Velo Yisporit Ze Mize, it's as if it's cast as one piece, it cannot be separated one from another. Yitzuk Loshen Mutzuk, it means cast. Vuloshen also, it's also, it's been prepared, it's been made. Kemo Yerud, Min Yered, Yotzuk. Min Yotzak, Yadua Min Yeda, it's a shorter form of a longer word. Yotzuk is from the word Mutzak. Mutzak.
Rashi is going down to, his, like he said before, that Mapli is Felix.
Mapli means layers. The only question is, what is the shorish of the word? Everyone agrees the word Mapli means
pal,
layers
pal.
Of flesh.
He calls them pal pal. Each layer is called a
mapal. Is right. So each layer, now these layers are...
It's called maple.
Okay, fine. Maple, layers of a sort of they cleave one to another, yotsukala balimot, and they cleave strongly one to another to the point where they cannot be separated. Next, pasuk lamid taz zayin. This Rashi explained the previous Rashi that we're now going into the heart. We're going from the external part of the body to the internal part of the body. First was the scales, then came the flesh, and now we're going into the heart. It has a very strong heart. It does not need a cardiologist. Libo yotzu kemoven. Its heart has been molded, has been cast like a piece of stone. It's hard like a rock. There's no flaw in the heart. The yotzuk, it's been cast kefelach tachtitz, like the lower stone of a mill. A mill there has two stones. The lower stone, which is put permanently in place, and then there is the upper stone. The upper stone has a handle attached to it, and you walk in circles and get dizzy. Or you take animals, and the animals go in circles. Or slaves go in there. Now, well, what else does the upper stone? Being that the upper stone is always in a state of motion, it's not strong. Anything that moves will ultimately break. I used to teach them about that time, the flash drives first came out. What's the mile of a flash drive today? They have solid state today. Also, now we're past the flash drives. Now we're into solid state drives. What is the mile of a solid state drive over the old fashioned floppy disks and the whole far? It doesn't move. No moving parts. Do you know what that is? It's noyda v'oyim. Anything that moves will break. That's the mitzvah. A car will never last forever because everything in a car has moving parts.
But you can't use it for a frisbee.
What?
Floppies you could use like a frisbee.
Like a frisbee. What floppies? The floppies are square, that we're talking about. You take out the flap from inside, you cut it open. All right, but anything that has moving parts
square.
Will break.
I'm talking about the 4 and 8 inch.
Solid state. It's expensive. That's the hot item today, to go buy a solid state drive. That's good stuff. Here it says, so that's, look at the mill. The mill has two parts. There's the bottom part and there's the top part. The bottom part doesn't move. It just sits there. The top part is always in continuous motion. So between the two, which one is stronger, which one is weaker? The bottom is stronger. The top, if it's in motion, it's eventually going to crack. It's going to break. Even stone's going to crack. It's going to get worn out. It's going to break. Secondly, the upper millstone, they drill the hole. Because how do you grind wheat? You pour the kernels through the hole in the top stone, and then it goes, and then when you turn it, somehow those kernels get stuck in between the top stone and the bottom stone, and it's crushed. So in order to properly grind flour, to grind kernels of wheat, kernels of barley, you have to drill a hole in the upper millstone. By drilling a hole, you weaken the integrity, the structural integrity of the stone. So it says here, the heart of the Leviathan, if you would want to compare it to the stones, the two stones of the millstone, would you compare it to the upper stone or to the lower stone? So the cardiologist would say, well, the heart is the moving parts. We would compare it to the upper stone, and the heart is hollow inside, right? There's a hollow cavity which is pumping the blood. We would be inclined to say that it's compared to the upper millstone. No. The heart of the Leviathan is a solid state drive. It is compared to the bottom part of the millstone. It's strong.
Is
Libo.
Is there a word for the upper and bottom? This is special terminology?
Here it says Gefelach Tachtis. I don't know. There probably is. The Gemara. Loshna Gemara. Probably it's not Loshna the top. Loshna Gemara. Kefelach is the stone, tachtis, the lower stone. Libo yatsuk ma'oven, if yatsuk, it's cast, kefelach, like the stone, tachtis, the lower stone, it's solid. Pasik tez zayin in the mitzudos, libo yatsuk, libo hu biyitzik achas, its heart has been cast in one pouring. Kemo even, like a stone, mibli halal, that has no cavity. Lo kemo bieser balechai, not like other creatures. Other creatures' hearts have cavities, have openings inside. Kefelach tachtis, hu biyitzikachatz kemo even harechayim, like the millstone, asher mitachas, that's on the bottom. Shein boi halal, it does not have a cavity. Klal, mashein kin ha'elyon, the upper stone of the millstone, sheesh boi cholol ma, it has a small opening. B'mokom ha'nekef, in that opening, sheyorid ha'tzvua derech ba. That's the custom. You drill a hole in the stone, and you pour the grain through that hole, it goes down, and then it's captured in between the top stone and the bottom stone, and you turn the top stone, and it causes it to grind, and the flower falls off onto the side. Okay, Rashi, pasik tezan, libo yotzek mo eben, libo bikirbo, chozok umiyusod, it's strong and powerful, ke'evin ha'kavua, like a permanent stone, and asuna biyisoid ha'binyin, that's a cornerstone, that's in the foundation of a building, b'choytzik, with strength. It's in the news now, the Kaisel HaMaravi, right? The Kaisel HaMaravi, they have different stones. Some of the stones are in perfect condition, and then in the Kaisel HaMaravi, there are certain stones which are coming apart. And now they've done studies, and they realize that they're not the same type of stone. They were quarried from different locations, and the stones that are decaying, that are falling apart.
I'm not talking about
those of modern times. I'm talking about the bottom stones, even the stones that are lower down, even the big massive heavy stones, even those stones, some of them are in great condition, as we all see in the cut. Some of the stones, you see that they're coming apart. Why are they coming apart? So they know this till very recently. They've now done studies that they came from different quarries. It was assumed until now all the stones size the crystals. That's what they discovered. And why is it so? Because they discovered that they cheated Hordis. Hordis, that's what they wrote in the article at least, that Hordis, as they were assumed, hired them to only quarry the stones from, and they grind the article, I don't know how they all know this, is that the people who quarry the stones knew the quality of the stones are different, and knew that there are certain stones that over time would decompose with the weather, and they were supposed to only get quarry the good stones, but they cheated Hordis, and they imported some poor material, and now today, 2,000 years later...
You don't think they gave at least a
2,000-year
guarantee?
Warranty is over. I don't know how they know all this, but that's what at least it said. A lot of these things are just bubamises. But it's in the news. It is in the news. It's interesting. We're talking over here about the different types of stones. They're different quality stones. And stone here is the strongest. One more time. The Rashi, Yotzekevel Chatachtis, Koifel Milasai, Shem Yusud, Koifel Milasai. This pasuk tes zayin is also repetition. Right, Meir, you see this repetition in the pasuk here as well. Now we do over here the heart. The heart also repeating it twice. Shem yusid liboy v'kavua, that it's established of kipelach shel rechayim, like the stone, the lower stone of the millstone. Shenoson b'tachtisoy shel pelach. Ah, here's your word, the rechef. Right, there's the rechef. Shepelach rechef shalomalo, who soiv magalev, the stone of the rechef shalomalo, who soiv miskalgal v'toichin, v'shalmata, the rechef is the upper stone, the chariot, the one that travels above. That's the rechef, it's in motion. A chariot is one who moves. The upper stone is in motion, it turns. The bottom stone does not move. V'shalmata eina zoz mimukoymoi, ki kovu hu bimukoymoi, ashelo yimot hu does not move, hu nikra pelach. So the lower stone is called the Pelach, and the upper stone is called the Rechev. So here it says the Pelach HaTachton, you don't need to say Tachton. Once you say Pelach, automatically it's self-assumed that it's the Tachton. But for whatever purpose it says here, the word Tachton as well, to make it clear, Shneemar, V'tashlech isha achas Pelach Rechev al Rosh Avimelech. Here the woman, she threw an Avimelech, she threw, was this Yael? No, that was a different Maisa, different story. That was Perek Vav, this Perek Tes.
The name of that woman who threw the millstone down.
What?
They
give the name of the woman. So it says the pelach rechev. It's a stone that was used on top of the millstone al rosh of melech ve'eshel matu kar pelach tachdes. So there's the pelach rechev, pelach tachdes. What?
They actually take out the rechev once a year.
Yeah. To clean it.
No, it has little ridges.
They have to sharpen it.
Yeah, they have to clean out the dirt.
In order to sharpen the ridge, so it should grind the grind.
The one that pushed
that crack, that crushed the kernels of grain. Yes, so you have to take it out and clean out the, I guess also sharpen it to make sure that it's functioning correctly. Okay, so you have two different terms, pelach rechev and pelach tachtis. And that's what it says here in the pasuk. The stronger the two is the tachtis, and that's the heart of the Leviathan is compared to the pelach tachtis. Pasuk yud zayin. Misei so yogur elim mishvarim yischato. Now, after describing its physical features, we describe its power due to its se'es. Okay, se'es means its grandeur, its gaiva, its might, its greatness. Due to its powerful, its ferocious might, yoguru elim, the mighty creatures of the world are in terror. When they get word that the Leviathan is on its way, when they see a picture, when they take note of it, they are filled with terror. Mishvarim, when the Leviathan travels in the water, shvarim means the waves. The waves are called shvarim because they crash into the seashore. They shiver, they break, they come crashing down, they're suicidal. They come crashing down and they turn into broken pieces when they hit the seashore. Yischato means they disappear. It's missing. David said, David, we have the Rosh called the pasuk, the word chet means lacking. It means missing and sometimes. And so when this creature, when it swims in the water, it's as if there are no waves. Its movement is so great, it destroys the formation of waves in its vicinity. Pasuk Yud Zayin. And the Mitzudos, we say so. Mimiroi Muso, due to its exaltedness, Yifchadu Af Hachazokim, the mighty are terrified. Mishvarim Yischatohu Kishahu Shot Bayam, when it swims in the sea, Yichasru, that's the word Yischatohu, is to be exchanged with the word Yechsru, it's missing. Hagalim, the waves. The Shvarim are the waves. Ki Mivalbel Hagalim, Umakalkulam, it confuses, it distorts, it diminishes the waves, the formation of waves, breaks them apart.
I'm talking about the waves.
The waves, a galim. The galim are the waves. The mishborim, according to the mitzudos.
The breakers.
That's right. But the mitzudos, the shivarim are the...
waves. It says galim. Waves, galim. The galim. Mishvara means the waves. The word mishvara, a wave, is called a mishbar.
No, it says yachsru of galim.
The waves are missing. The waves disappear.
From the mishvara.
No. From the Leviathan. The Leviathan's massive movement destroys the formation, the natural wave formations in the ocean, in its vicinity. Look at the mitzudos tzion. Mishbarim. Kain yikru gale hayam. The word mishbar is a code, is a term for waves. Kumo mishborecha vigalecha. And Yonah, al shem why? Shenirim ki mishborim es hayam. It looks like they break the yam. Viafhemo yushboru me'atzim. They also, they're suicidal. They are broken apart by themselves and they come crashing into the sea. When they come crashing into the seashore, they are destroyed. So it's a word which means a wave. And when this sea creature, the Leviathan, swims, it's so massive it destroys the formation. We'll see. You go on the train, right? Go over the East River, and you see these massive tankers. So you go along, go on the FDR Drive, and you see these massive barges, and you see behind in the wake. They're massive. It completely destroys the natural flow of water is temporarily distorted due to the enormous power of these barges. Okay, let's go further.
Is that the implication? Is it overcoming the gravitational pull of the moon? Because that's where the waves come.
The waves are only move because of the gravitational pull of the moon. That's not the only factor, if I'm not mistaken. There are a lot of factors which contribute to the wave.
The primary.
That's the tides. He doesn't talk about the moon. Whatever it does. Okay, it's not talking about it. Just to turn the edge that in the ocean there are natural currents. There are waves. There are natural wave formations. When this monster, the sea monster, when it swims, it destroys any resemblance of the natural waves that would appear if not for the creature, for this leviosa. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says same thing. Miseiso yigur elim mipachtoi misyorim giborim vechazokim bein dogim bein shabrios. Due to its gevura, all creatures, including fish and others, are terrified in its presence. Mishbodim yischatahu gale hayam. Kerash is very clear. The waves, shekrim, which are called mishbarim, they destroy others, and they are themselves destroy themselves. Hein chasedim lefanav, they disappear. Kishu shayvrasan bifri chasai, when it breaks it, when the leviathan swims. Kashahu pareach v'tzaf, when it flies and floats. Pareach v'tzaf, the gale hayam mitzuda says shot, to swim. He has a different term. Pareach v'tzaf, it flies and swims and floats. Maybe we've heard different creatures. Tzaf. And pareach means to fly. And we're not aware that it flies.
Like a fish, it jumps out of the water.
Okay, that's the whole question. There are certain types of sharks. Right? I once saw a documentary. There are certain types of sharks that actually they come up. Whales,
they have to.
Massive.
What? They can't live underwater all the time.
They come to attack their prey. They
also come up to breathe.
They can go up very high into the air. Yitzchatahu lashon chisaron. The word Yitzchatahu means lashon chisaron. It's missing. It's lacking. Vayisi ani ubeinei bnei shlomo chatoim bashev haset to David. Adonia ven chagis has taken the malchus for himself. And if you do not step in and anoint my son Shlomo, then we are doomed forever. Ani ubeinei shlomo chatoim will be missing. Will be lacking. Will be left out of our destiny. Okay, next pasuk says next masigeu chenev b'li sokum. Those people who try to attack it, fishermen or anyone that tries to capture the leviathan, those are called the masigehu. Then those group of men who try to conquer cherev with a sword, they come out with mighty weapons. B'li sokum, they will not succeed. Hashem says, you can try all you want to capture this sea monster. I guarantee, b'li sokum, you will not succeed to capture with a sword. And furthermore, maybe you'll come up with new weapons. Maybe technology will advance and you'll have now new weapons. You'll have a chanis. You'll have a masa. You'll have a shirya. Okay, these are automatic weapons. Okay, these are chanis is a spear. Okay, there's a sword and a spear. A masa, we don't know what this is. It's some type of other weapon. Mitzvah says weapons. Vishirya, these are other types of weapons. These weapons as well, you have to read the pasuk backwards. As if the pasuk says a cheref, a chanis, a masa, and a shirya, four weapons. If they're in the hands of the masigehu, those people that try to conquer the leviathan, Hashem says, b'li sokum, guess what? You're going to lose. You're not going to succeed. No matter what type of weapon you use to capture my leviathan, you'll fail. Mitzudos. Masigehu, halecha mimimo. Those that try to battle the leviathan, lehasigoi, to conquer it, b'cheref, guess what? Lo yisokum biyadam. Zos hamulchama, it's a losing battle. Ki lo yinatzchuhu b'cheref, they will not prevail upon it with a sword. V'chein, furthermore, haleichamim b'chanis, with a spear, oy b'masa, another weapon, oy b'shriya, whatever the v'shriya, lo yinatzchu imohem. Mitzudos Tzion says chanis masa v'shriya heim shemos klei zayin. Okay, other types I have no idea where they are. Let's see. Right, a shield, coat of mail, but here it's on the offense. It's an offensive weapon. Here it seems to me it's an offensive weapon. Okay, I don't know what this is. Let's take a look at the mitzudos. The Matuda is the Rashi's. Rashi said.
Brings that down. It says it doesn't make sense.
It can't be, because that's a defense. That's a defensive. That's a coat of armor. That's not a tool you use to capture. Rashi was Yidches Masigehu Chedev Belitzakum Gibor Hamasigehu Li Lochim Bechedev, a Gibor that attempts to conquer it and to go out to battle with a sword, Lo Yiskayim Charbo, he's going to lose his sword. Ki Hu Yishperen. A little bit different, Rashi. The sword will break. That it's not just that. He won't succeed. The Leviathan will take the sword and destroy it and break it.
Or it gets hit body.
When it hits, it'll just shatter. It'll shatter against the body. Okay. Chanis masa v'shirya v'chein kol klei milchama. Halal, whether you come with a tank, whether you come with a helicopter, whether you come with an F-16, whatever you come with, a drone, all the different types of techniques are not going to work. V'chein kol klei ha-mulchama halalu shabiyat ha-masig lo yiskaimu v'lo yamdu lufanav shalav yosan. Okay, now he says another pshat. What's this masa? What is this masa? So he didn't really say, just that it's a weapon, whatever it is. Yesh lema, some say it's not a weapon, but rather it's a description, it's an adjective. It's describing a certain type of weapon. A sword, it is a chanis masa. Masa is an adjective. A spear that is massive. It's so massive that the average person can't even hold it. If you ever watch a documentary in the ancient times, the weapons that they held were massive. Today, the goal is to create weapons for soldiers that are super light. That way you can travel very quickly and it's easy. In those days, a shield alone weighed 100 pounds. In order to go out into a battlefield, you had to be a beast. You had to be a beast to carry a shield, 100-pound shield, and to carry a spear, which weighs another 35 pounds, 30, 40 pounds. And then with your armor and your clothing, it just boggles the mind. How in the world can you survive something like this? And especially when the temperature is 110 degrees, it's just mind-boggling. That's what it was in those days. So here it says, besides the fact that the average weapon was very heavy, here we're dealing with a weapon that's even abnormal. This weapon, this spear, a regular spear is 50 pounds. This weighs 200 pounds. Here he goes around Rashi Masa.
You can bring in your heavy artillery.
It's not going to work, exactly. That's first perish. That we already said. It's a noun. It's a certain type of weapon. But some say masa dugmas even shlema masa. That there in that pasuk, it means massive. What is it in that pasuk? Even shlema masa. When it talks about the when it talks about the weights, the mishkolos, it says even shlema masa yushaf, perfect weights. So what does it mean masa? Masa, that pasuk according to one interpretation means very large. The zel pisrono chanis masa. Masa means like a burden. A burden like masa means the travels, the masos. Mem, the sharish of mem samach ayin are the masos, the travels. So why is it called a travel? It's a burden. When you travel, it's a difficult. It's a burden to travel from one location to another location. A burden shugodol. It's extremely massive.
Carrying
the einoy noyach letaltel kolkach lebnei shugodol v'chazak meod. Something that cannot be moved easily. It's not a kli. An even shlema masa means a stone that's meant to sit in one location. It's not meant to be moved from place to place. So here is what Kinyan Shnemar Begolis Aplishi v'chetz chaniso ke minor orgim was like a weaver's beam. The lavas chaniso and the blade of his spear was sheish meos, was 600, whatever it says there, was a weight of 600 something, which is very, very heavy. So here as well, it's an adjective. It means a chanis masa. A sword that is massive, heavy artillery. You bring out the cavalry, you bring out the artillery, whatever you bring out, your cavalry, whatever you're going to bring out, it's not going to help. It's just not going to work. You're not going to be able to conquer the Leviathan. Interesting, the word masa is a very interesting word when we describe the luchos. Because the luchos, in the Bavli says there are two letters that only were able to remain b'nes, the mem, the samach shebeluchos b'nes hayoemdim. The Yerushalmi says the ayin shebeluchos b'nes hayoemdim. How could it be a stipulation in the Bible and the Yerushalmi? So the common answer is the Bible is referring to the Ksav Ashuris, And the Yerushalmi is referring to Ksav Ivri. In Ksav Ivri, there are many versions of Ksav Ivri. But one of the versions of Ksav Ivri, an ayin is a triangle. In Ksav Ivri, so the only way the ayin can remain suspended is B'nei Shoyo Imdim. You have to know the version. There are many versions. I looked. I almost had a lot of time looking this up.
But an ayin is a gamma. Letter gamma might be a triangle.
Okay, but it's not in every version. You're going to take out an encyclopedia, you're going to show Ksav Ivri, and you're going to go look at the I, and you're not going to see a triangle.
You know, yeah. The reason that in English they pronounce Dom and Amora as Sodom and Gomorrah, what do they have?
They couldn't put the gimel,
the
gamma from the ayin, the ayin. So you see, there's some connection. Okay, but one of the versions, the Yerushalmi is very clear. The ayin shebeluchos beneis hayu oimdim. So how do you reconcile? How do you reconcile this contradiction between the mem and the samach? So there's a famous Radvaz. Radvaz says the luchos rishonos and luchos shniyos. That one shot is that the Luchos Rishonos were in Ksav Ashuris, and the Luchos Shnios were in Ksav Iris. Some say just the opposite. That the Luchos Rishonos was Ksav Iris, and Luchos Shnios were in Ksav Ashuris. But whatever it is, that's how you answer the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. But what is very interesting is the combination of both of them together. You have to say the Luchos is Masa Lokim Hema. And it's Masa, the Mikta, Vikta Lokim. It's not dealing over here with something that is physical, it's very spiritual. The combination of both the Luchos, the first and the second set, results in three letters only existing through the koyach of a nes. That's the mem, the samach, and the ayin. What does the mem, samach, ayin spell? Masa. It gives a new appreciation to what it says in the pasuk. Evan shlema masa. As Rashi quoted, an evan shlema, that's complete masa. There's a remes, something being hinted. How could it be? It's like an oxymoron. How could it be complete? The ayin, these three letters, the mem, samach, ayin, if you're dealing with the evan, what is the ultimate evan shlema? The luchos. The luchos is the ultimate. That's the stone which encompasses hamelech shahasholom shalo, encompasses kol ha'Torah kula. How could it be shalem? But there are three letters in the aleph bays, the mem, samach, and ayin. When you combine together, luchos, shas, luchos, shnios, which B'nei's hayu emdim in Achnami, it's still called Shlema. Just throwing out this idea, this is an interesting idea where these letters are coming into connection with in reference to a stone. And here we're not using it in reference to a stone. Rashi here in the second page is borrowing the term Masa. It's an adjective that it's something which is meant to be located to stay in one place. It's too hard to lift. But in this case, it's going to be Masa. It's going to be used to attempt to conquer the Leviathan. But Hashem says, it's Hashem speaking. This is not a man speaking. Hashem is speaking directly. B'li sokum. It's a wasted war. It's not going to work. You're wasting your time. The Shirya. Okay, Rashi says here, Shiryon is, I guess, Rashi's second interpretation. Shiryon means a coat of mail, right? Armor. And what then does that mean over here? According to that, armor is for defensive purposes, not for offensive purposes. So what does it mean? I have no idea. But it means you're going out to war, you're not going to succeed in this type of war. Pasuk Yutes. Yachshev l'seven bar. So here you describe in more details that this Leviathan, when they start shooting arrows, and they start shooting missiles and all different types of weapons, it laughs it off, it shakes it off. It's like it's nothing. Yachshev with seven barzel. When you shoot iron and you attempt to inject iron into its skin, the Leviathan feels as if you're throwing on its straw. That's how massive it is. Le'etz rikavo nechusha. When you try to shoot copper in its body, it feels like you're throwing at it a rotten piece of wood, which is soft. It dissolves. It falls apart. It's nothing. Pasuk Yudas in the Mitzvos. Yachshav ki klei barzel nechshav lemula l'tevin. Klei barzel is considered to be straw v'chlei nechusha. Noychosh la'etz nirgav ki lo yazikeu be'ela. It's not injured by these weapons, these types of metal. Rashi pasuk yates, yachshav l'tevin barzel klei zayin shel barzel chashuvim lefonav kitevin uchlei zayin shel nechoshes hein lefonav kirikvois eight is like a rotten piece of wood. Pasuk chaf lo yavrichenu then koshes. Interesting expression. What is the son of the bow? A keshes is a bow. A bow has arrows. The arrows in Chazal, the Torah, and in Iyov are called the children. Because this is what goes forth. What goes forth from a parent? A child. What goes forth from the bow? The arrows. So the then keshes are the arrows. Lo yavrichenu. Do not frighten the Leviathan. When the Leviathan sees bullets coming its way, it's not frightened. It's bulletproof. Lekash nephu lo avne kola. Stones that are shot through a slingshot. Avne kela means
catapult.
That's the next. I think that avne kola, I believe, is a slingshot. The next thing is a catapult, a cannon. But the avne kola is the stones that come from a handheld slingshot. These stones that are cast its way do not frighten. Turn into straw and stubble. It's nothing. It's bulletproof from these small arms. Pasuk chaf in the mitzudos ben keshes hachetz, the arrow lo yavriachoso, does not frighten it, does not cause the leviathan to flee. Ki lo yifchad mimenu nevchu lo lemulo, when you throw stones through a slingshot, nevchu avnei kola, the stones of the slingshot lekash ratzalaymar lo yaziku lo kamosh ena kash mazik hasher yikalim almi, just like straw does not harm a person when it's shot at another person. Nerf balls, right? Is that what we call today? Anyone have a Nerf gun at home? Okay, it's a big toy today. So this is what? Today, it's an old thing? How old is it? 10 years? How far does it go back?
It's still around.
It's a big thing. It's a big business. What?
Way back.
Way back, I was not aware. Okay, but they're much more advanced. Today, yeah, they have. Today, a machine Nerf ball. It's high-tech stuff. It's a lot of fun. Okay, lo yazigu lo kamosh ena kash mazik hasher yikalei me'ashim, just like straw cannot injure one. Likewise, these stones have no cannot injure. The avnei kela, by the way, that's one of the things that happened. That's the term that's used to the neshama after the neshama departs. Avnei kela means that the Chazal say this, that the neshama goes back and forth between this world and its mokay menucha in Gan Eden. After the neshama leaves the body for the first 12 months. For a period of time, whatever this means, the neshama is still attached to this world. It has a hard time departing from this world, but yet it feels a calling to go to its place of resting, its eternal place of resting in Gan Eden. So it goes to Gan Eden, but then it says, "But I miss this world. I was here for 120 years. I have some connection. Let me go back." It goes back to this world. And then he says, but I want to go to the Tainug of Gan Eden. Goes to Gan Eden. I want to go back. And it goes back and forth. And this process continues or slows down until it finally has menucha in Gan Eden and no longer wants to come back to this world at all. And this process can take, as they say, it's part of the process of Gehenim. And this going back and forth is what's called Avnei Hakela. It's called, in Kabbalistic terms, like a slingshot. Because a slingshot, you pull back, and when you let go, it goes forward. It shoots forward. And then you pull it back again. Pull it back again. You keep on shooting more. It goes back and forth. That's a term, and we have it here in this pasuk. Pasuk of Aleph, kikash nechshavu tosach. Now here's your word, a catapult. Okay, like kash nechshavu tosach. Tosach appears to be a cannon. Ancient cannons. Now how do they shoot ancient cannons before gunpowder? They had techniques, right? What do they do? There was some technique.
Catapult.
You light fuse.
Catapult?
No, you have to have a
fuse. It was like a spring.
But that's modern.
That's modern.
Modern times. Gunpowder. What? So how do you shoot it? What did you do?
You bent it all the way down.
Oh, you bent it down. Yeah.
What
kind of material?
It was basically, usually it was wood.
Oh, okay.
It had a spring, was made out of rope. And they twisted the rope round, until it was very...
Okay, so it's a high tech or a magnified slingshot.
There are people today who build models of the old
cannons.
And they're gigantic. They're 30 feet tall, and they.
When you read about the Churban Beis Hamikdash, yeah. When you read about the Churban Beis Hamikdash, that's what it was all about. That's what they, the Romans, they used thousands of people.
The
stones. Yeah, the stones that were thrown on these cannons. So that's kekash nechshavu tosach, like straw. This tosach means these cannons. Avnei tosach, the stones that were shot by the cannons. It's straw. The yischak lirash kidon, it delights in the loud sound of the spears. When the Leviathan hears all the weapons being clinging, clanging, and making all these sounds, ah, delicious. This is entertainment for the Leviathan. It's nonsense, because it's not possible for any creature in this world to conquer the Leviathan.
You also have Kidonim, I think that's why he puts it together with Totach. They had like crossbows.
Yeah.
But they had humongous crossbows that were used to shoot.
Used to pull it.
Yeah. What is put next to it? They had spring.
No, because the sound.
Spring kidonim that could actually, you put in a big piece of metal into it.
Yeah.
And it can
shoot
right through a building.
Okay.
The sound that's worked, I think, is like if you've seen enough movies, when the, let's say hundreds of people throwing a javelin or shooting arrows at. Makes a sound.
Yeah.
That whoosh of
the rash of the kidoin does not fear the Leviathan, instead Yitzchak. It takes delight. Notice Yitzchak liyoyim acharoin. Many of the expressions being used here in these psukim are lu to things that happen Yimos HaMashiach, Achir Sayamim. The Yitzchak lirash kidoin. Psukim Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Tusach Avnitoyach lirash kidoin. Lohomis kol bali kidoin. He adds something more into the parish to kill kol bali kidoin. It takes delight in the sound of the kidon in order to kill them. The Leviathan is on the attack. He's not going to sit back and take this lightly. When people are coming to attack him, he's going to go on the offensive. I'm not sure if that's what he means, but he says something here, something more here in the Mitzudos. Let's take a look at Rashi Pasik Chof Aleph. Tusach hu klei zayin upesrenu lufi inyono, it's a certain type of weapon. The yisak lerash kidon lerash muhumas bali muhumas. I told you what it says over here in this Rashi, that it takes delight in the sound of the muhumas, the tumult of the bali muhumas, noile kidon, who take in their hands their kidon, their javelin, who misachek.
Always involve yell and scream as they're going and throwing the javelin.
They make a lot of noise, that commotion. Who misachek umitayel? He loves it. The Leviathan misachek, he laughs umitayel, and he goes for a stroll. He goes out like he's watching a movie, even though he's in the movie.
He swings his tail.
Like the fish wakes up and the fish says, "Ah, it smells good. Who's cooking fish?" So the Balabas says, "You're cooking fish." Never heard that before. So here, the Yosan, he takes delight. Look at this movie. Doesn't realize the camera's on him. He is the one upon whom all of these soldiers are coming to attack. She'enoi misyarei mipnehem. He's not afraid of what is taking place from all these creatures. Pasuk Habeis. Now here's something that's very interesting, that this creature, when it lies down, when it goes to sleep, it goes to sleep on a bed of nails. Ever watch these shows now, these Guinness Book of World Records people, they lie down on glass, they lie down on nails and sugar. On coals. How do they do it? I have no idea how they do this.
They separate the weight.
On nails, you can lie on a bed of nails?
You spread your weight over a number of nails.
How do you get on it? Until you spread your weight. I don't know, it's beyond me. Or glass, coals, all these strange things, these magicians. So the Leviathan is the greatest magician. It lies down on the shard. When it goes to sleep, instead of lying down in tit, tit is clay. This is what a regular creature would enjoy, to lie down in mud. Mud is soft. It's like they advertise on the radio, the sleep of the rest of your life, sleepies, whatever they call it, these types of beds, so you can adjust the comfort level of your bed. A regular creature would enjoy sleeping upon tit, But the Leviathan, as far as it's concerned, is willing to lie down on the sharpest pieces of clay, of pottery, which is not very comfortable, but for as far as it's concerned, it doesn't bother me because due to its massiveness, it does not feel the sharp edges of this material. Tachtov, beneath it, chadudei chores, are sharp edges of pottery. Chores, chores, like with a samach. Yirpad, yirpad means a bed. Yirpad is it's a resting place. Chorutz is filled with sharp edges, as if aleitit. And as far as the Leviathan is concerned, it's comfortable as if it was lying upon mud. A soft mud bed. Does not have any pain whatsoever. Chof beis the mitzudos. Chadu de cheres. Siloim charifim. Sharp pointed rocks. Doimim, which are similar to licharosim. Chadim, to sharp pieces of pottery. Hemolo mitachas are for the creature, for the Leviathan, a bed that is put underneath. V'hu shechiv aleim, he lies upon it. V'lo yargish bohem, does not feel the pain. Yirpad, what's the word yirpad? Yatzia la'atzmo dover chad. Yatzia means it lays out a mattress. It lays out for itself a mattress, something which is very sharp. Mole chalitzin, filled with pricks. V'yishkav olov kaltit, as if it was lying upon mud. V'kof alinim b'mila shonas, the second of the pasuk is exactly the first half. The words yirpad, chorutz, is equal to chadude chores. These two parts of the pasuk are basically repetitious. Rashi pasuk of beis. Pasuk of beis tachtov chadudei cheres b'mkoyim chaniso. Now Rashi says b'mkoyim chaniso yesh. Rashi is a little bit different. He's saying the place the chaniso would lie is down yesh zehurei shemesh. There are sparks of the sun. Okay, a whole different parish. When it lies down, it glows. It glows with sparks of the sun. So cheres is to be substituted for the shemesh. The sun. The sun is called sometimes with the word cheres.
Well, first of all, in Aramaic, it's
charsa. Shemesh in Aramaic is charsa. Okay, so
the sun has a reddish gold tinge, which is like
similar clay to the clay. Okay, so either because of the Aramaic or because of the color, ki san pirim shelo yashar tachta, because it's scales which are beneath it, b'tachta b'bitnoi. So the crocodile doesn't have, is that cool? The crocodile has scales on its belly.
This one does.
The fin.
The fins, shelo yasher tachta bebidnoi miirois umazrichois, they shine kashemish like the sun. A whole different interpretation from mitzudos. Chadudei kmo cherev chado, sharp. The sharpness of the sun, of the tachta of chadudei cheres, means the sharpness. Chadudei kmo cherev chado, shehi shenuna. Shenuna tzacha umaluvna the alshem kach, which is clean. Tzacha means it's pure, umaluvna, and refined, and it's refined, reflect. It's perfect. It's maluvna. It's refined. The alshem kach kares lezaharude chadu. That's why it's called the shine. So chadude means the shine of the sun. Beneath it is the shine of the sun. Chadude means sharp. A blade is sharp. Shines. It shines in the sun. The sharpness of the sun is beneath it. Cheres shemesh k'mo ha'omer lacheres lo yizrach. Hashem said that the sun should not shine. Beterem tovay hacheres min shayftim. Yirpad chorutz alaitit milak fula. This is a doubled word. Yirpad chorutz. The word yirpad chorutz musav al chadudi cheres. This second part of the pasuk is goes. This mila means the expression is doubled. Go to the expression of the pasuk al chadudi cheres al alayatit musav al tachtisay b'makom shusham alachol zetit ripudo. The place that it lies down tachtov is equivalent to alaitit. What is beneath it is yirpad ripudo mazruch. It's lying down, shines. So the word, the second, chorutz, according to Rashi, means also to shine. Yirpad means the place where it lies down. Aleitit is where the shine comes forth. Mazriach kizov chorutz, it shines like pure gold. Kinyan shenemar, rifidasoy zahov, its couch is gold. Chorutz means, of the word chorutz, a type of gold. Kinyan shenemar, machritz tivoy asa, whatever that means. Toiv piriya mecharutz mipaz. Different yar peloshin matza means a bed. Or mishkav kamoy if he does his zav. So sachakol Rashi, the basic gist of Rashi is the second of the pasuk means yar pedaletit. Yar pedaletit. The other thing is put together. Yar pedaletit, that it lies down on the ground, and in that location where it lies down, charutz. It's as if there's a shining gold. The shining gold brings forth light. And that second part of the pasuk, equivalent to the first part of the pasuk, tachtav, the place where it lines, chadudei chores, there is a shining brilliance that goes forth. So Rashi learns that we're dealing with a shine that comes from its moshav, its chair, and according to the mitzudos, it's referring to the fact that it's not bothered by sharp edges of rock, or of other sharp items, because it's enormous, it's massive, it's as if it's lying down upon tit. Okay, we'll stop here.